It's good to have all of you here today on Easter Sunday morning. Traditionally, when someone says to you, "He is risen," the response is, "He is risen indeed," and that is whether you are as individuals or in a congregation. So let's try it. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. It's good to hear hear that over and over and do that tradition. In fact, my father will call me at some point today. I will answer the phone, and he will not even greet. He'll just say, "He is risen," and I'll respond, "He is risen indeed." So if you have children who are not here, feel free to torment them in that manner. No, it's not a torment. It's a blessing. We're going to do something a little bit different. Our scripture comes from John chapter 20, starting in verse 24. If you have your Bibles, please feel free to open to them. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to use one of the red chairback Bibles. They're around you. If you need one, toss up a hand if you're not around one. I know a lot of you have smart apps on your phones. Apps on your smartphone. There you go. But you know what? If you don't have a Bible and you would like a Bible, feel free to take one of those red chairback Bibles home with you. Read it. Put your name in it. It's our gift to you. We want you to get into the Word of God and the Word of God to get into you. But what we're going to do, because it's a little bit different, normally when I preach, I will go through the text and we'll read through it together. But I would encourage you to do is stick your bookmark or your bulletin or something in that spot. And we're going to do a bit of a different sermon this morning. I'm going to enter into the text and, I'm stealing a page out of Jesus' preaching, out of his preaching repertoire. I'm going to preach a story to you. I'm going to preach the sermon as if I was a character from the text, and I will pretend like I'm him. I will preach the story, and what I would encourage you to do is sometime, and this is why I had you open up your Bibles, sometime later in the week, maybe today, maybe after you have lunch, maybe tomorrow, maybe during the week, maybe multiple times during the week, open that text back up, reread the text, and see what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. So how this is going to work is I'm going to take my Bible, and I'm going to place it on the stand behind me, and then when I turn around, I'll be a different character. But before I do that, let's pray. Father, thank you that we are here on Easter Sunday morning, where we do declare Jesus Christ is risen. Holy Spirit, I would ask that I will decrease, the Lord Jesus Christ will increase. That, Lord, through the preaching of your word, we will be transformed, we will be challenged, we will be moved. Lord God, take my heart, take our hearts that can be so hard, soften them. Help us to receive the gospel, help us to receive your truth. It's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Ah, so good to see all of you. When my friend Jacob told me that so many people were going to come here to Jerusalem to see me off as I depart towards India, I didn't believe that so many would come. But seeing is believing. There are so many faces here I don't recognize. Allow me to introduce myself. Where are my manners? My name is Thomas. My name is Thomas. And I am most certainly going to depart from Jerusalem and never be here again. And that means I will never see any of you ever again. And because of that, I wanted to share with you about this man, Jesus, who walked here in the streets of Jerusalem just 30 years ago. I began to follow Jesus because many thought he was the Messiah, the one who would gather Israel to himself, rise up and chase Rome out of our land. But that was why I began to follow Jesus. I continued to follow Jesus because of what I saw. Seeing is believing. Yes? If you can touch it, it's real. I saw Jesus turn ordinary plain water into wine. I tasted it. It was real. It was good. I saw Jesus heal a blind man, gave him back his sight. I saw him. He was real. I saw Jesus take 5 loaves of ordinary bread and 2 small, puny fish and feed 5,000 people. I saw Jesus heal a dying, paralyzed man. He didn't even touch him. He didn't even have to touch him. All he did was speak. All he did was speak. And the man was healed. Seeing is believing. If you can touch it, it's real. I saw Jesus. I touched him. I walked with him for 3 years. I knew he was Jesus. I knew he was real. Unlike all the false messiahs who had come to Israel before. No, Jesus was the real thing. Jesus was the Messiah this world needed. And so I would follow him no matter the cost. No matter what the price would be. It's so easy to make a bold statement, isn't it? It's even harder to follow through. One night while we were in Jerusalem, we were in the Olive Grove. And while we were there, Judas, one of the disciples, one of my brothers, came with a detachment of soldiers, armed soldiers and officials from the high priest. They were there to arrest Jesus. And I remember when I was there. I remember when that happened as the whole event was playing out before me. I remember thinking, there's no way they're going to arrest Jesus. There is no way. I've seen him turn water into wine. I've seen him calm the mighty ocean, the mighty sea with his voice. Jesus is too powerful. They can't take him. There's no way they're going to arrest him. But Jesus just let them take him away. And as they dragged him away, I ran. We ran. We all eventually ran. All except John. We ran to a home on the outskirts of Jerusalem. We ran inside and we locked the doors and we left the lights off. We were terrified that they were going to come for us and kill us. We were so scared. John knew where we were and he found us. And he came and he told us that they had taken Jesus and they crucified him. And they drove a nail into his hand, onto a wooden cross, into each of his hands. And they drove one nail through both of his feet onto that cross. And they pierced his side with a spear. Jesus spent 3 hours on that cross, and then he died. I was wrong. I had given up everything to follow Jesus. I had left my life in Galilee. I had left my friends. I had left my job. I left my parents, my whole family, to follow Jesus, and I was wrong. And now here I was with 11 other guys, with 10 other guys, holed up in a rat-infested house, terrified that we were next. That's the price of following a lie. That's the price of being wrong. A few days had passed. A day or two, and we were starting to get hungry. Our supplies were out. We had to get food. Nobody wanted to go out. Would you want to go out? Nobody wanted to go out. Who wants to risk their life for a dead man? Who wants to die for a dead man? So we gambled to see who would have to go, and I lost. Great. It was about noon when I left. And I spent a lot of time going through Jerusalem. I was very careful. I didn't want anyone to see me. It took a long time to gather food and gather supplies. And it was about just before the sun was about to set when I got back to the house. And as I approached the house, I knocked on the brick of the house, not the door. That was our signal to tell them that it was okay, that it was me to let me in. And no sooner had I knocked on the door, I heard the doors unlock and the door flung open and arms just grabbed me and pulled me inside. And it was Peter, and of course it was Peter. It's always Peter. He grabbed me by the shoulders and he was shaking me and he had a smile on his face, this huge smile. And Peter said, "Thomas, Thomas, we've seen him. We've seen the Lord. He's alive." And I looked around. The other 10 had big smiles on their faces too. And then I smiled. And I couldn't help myself. I said, where is he? Where is he? I went through the house. I said, "Jesus, Jesus, where are you?" And then James came and he put his hand on my shoulder. And James said to me, "Thomas, while you were gone, Jesus came to us. Even though the doors were locked, he just came to us. And he spoke to us. And after he said a few words, for just one moment, all of us seemed to have glanced away at the same time. And then he was gone. I pushed James' arm off me. I said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it." But James tried to argue with me. He said, "We were all there. Thomas, we were all there. We saw him. He was here. You could trust us. You could believe us." I pushed past him and I said, "No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Not for one moment, not for one instance." And then Peter came at me and he was angry. Peter came and he said, "How dare you, Thomas? How dare you? For 3 years we've walked together. For 3 years we've walked with the Lord. We were brothers for 3 years and you call us liars and you won't believe us?" And I pushed him away from me. And I said, "Peter, if Jesus really is alive, if he's really alive, then why are all of you holed up in this rat hole of a house? Behind locked doors?" John came and he separated us. He tried to calm us down and he said, "Thomas, Mary Magdalene also saw him. Mary Magdalene also saw him, as did all of us. It's true. Jesus is risen from the dead. You can believe us. He was standing right there." And then I said to him, "Unless I see the holes in his hand and put my finger where they drove the nails through and place my hand in his side, I will not believe it." "I've given up too much to follow him already, John. I can't bear the shame of being wrong yet again." And none of you can blame me. Absolutely none of you can blame me. You would do the same thing. What would you do? How would you respond if your spouse, no, your child, your daughter died in an accident. You went to the funeral. You saw her buried in the ground. And then a few days later, some of your friends come and say, "Your daughter's alive." Would you believe them? Unless you could see her with your eyes and hold her in your arms, you couldn't. Neither could I. A day went by. And another, and another, and another. An entire week passed. Not a single word, not a report about Jesus. And so because the Passover had long since passed, we felt it would be safe to go back to Galilee. I had decided that I would travel back with them back to Galilee, but once they were gone, I was going to depart their company. I'd try to piece back together my life to the best I could. So while we were still in the home and I was packing up my belongings, I heard a voice from behind me. "Peace be with you." And I didn't know who it was. Maybe Peter, perhaps Andrew? So I turned. And I saw him. And it was Jesus. He was alive. In that moment, I believed. And I ran to go embrace him. But he put up a hand to stop me. No, not to stop me. He placed his hand, left hand out, and I could see the hole right through his hand. And he said to me, "Put your finger here." And I thought to myself, "No, Lord, I believe." So I took his hand, and I could touch him. He was real. And I put my finger right next to that hole, and as soon as it touched the hole, I took my finger, my hand away. Yes. Yes, Lord. But then Jesus said to me, "See my hands." I didn't want to touch his hand again. I didn't need to. I believed him. But he just kept holding his hand out there. So I took it, and once again I felt him, and as soon as my finger touched the hole where the nail went through, I removed my hand. "Yes, Lord, yes." But then Jesus said to me, "Put your hand here." And he lifted up his tunic, and I could see that gash, that horrible gash. And I bent my head down, and I closed my eyes, and I placed my hand in that horrible hole. And when I opened my eyes again, I could see the holes through the bottom of his feet. And then Jesus looked at me right in the eyes. And he said to me, "Stop doubting and believe." And I fell to my knees. "Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. And my God." Jesus put his hand on my shoulder, and he lifted me up. And he looked at me, and he said, "Because you have seen, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And I looked away from him. I was so ashamed. And when I looked back, he was gone. Oh, my friends, I was so arrogant. I was so incredibly arrogant. I thought something was only real if you could touch it. But I was wrong. My friends had told me they were trustworthy people. I should have believed them, and yet I didn't. My friends, don't be like me. Don't be arrogant like me. No, you should believe in the resurrection because God wrote it in His Word. You should believe in the resurrection of Jesus because God wrote it in His trustworthy Word. All of the Bible, all of Scripture points to Jesus, points to His resurrection. You can trust God. You can trust His Word. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Believe that Jesus was raised from the dead so that on this day, on this very day, you can raise your hands in victory and say, "He has risen. He is risen indeed." These things are written so that you might know. These things are written in God's word so that you might believe. So that you might believe in Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah, and that by believing you might have life, eternal life. You should believe in the resurrection because God wrote it in His word. Believe and be blessed.